Father of comfort. Father of all comfort, we could say, but we call him the Father of comforts. Bible study lesson number 9, January 7th, 2012. God the Father is our personal Father if we believed in Christ as our Savior. You are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. Then God is your personal Father, just as He's my personal Father. He's our Father by the fact that we were redeemed. We were regenerated the moment we were redeemed. We believed in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Father placed His own personal DNA inside of us. It's called His seed. He made us one of His own. 1 John 3:9 says, "No one who is born of God practices sin because his seed abides in him. He cannot sin because he is born of God." The seed of God is what produces the human spirit within us. The seed of God is our human spirit made alive through the regenerational work of the Holy Spirit, the two working together. The divine nature is given the one born of God. The divine nature is placed in us by spiritual regeneration. We do not become God, but we have a new eternal generation from God the Father. John 1:12-13, I often quote to you from the King James translation, but the NASB translation gives you a more modern English understanding of what it is saying, though it's clear in the King James. "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." You and I were born again by the will of God the Father. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Or verse 4, I'm sorry, not verse 3, verse 4. "For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust." By them is through the glory and excellency, verse 3. Verses 2 and 3, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and excellency." We become a partaker, the believer's share in the life of God by means of Christ, of the Spirit, and of the Father living in him. We have all three members of the divine Godhead living within us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Spirit permanently taking up indwelling in our body, soul, and spirit. The Father and the Son taking up residency inside our human spirit. When we're filled with the Spirit, our entire body is under control of the triune Godhead through the Holy Spirit. If we develop the spiritual maturity to have intimacy with God from a mature basis, we can be filled with the Son and filled with the Father, a unique filling of the triune Godhead within the believer. Few believers ever attain to this, so because this is maximum spiritual maturity. This is living for Christ under any and all circumstances. This is understanding the doctrines related to this, to Christology, and doctrines related to the Father, Paterology, and applying them in your life, in your intimacy, and talking with God, and appreciating God for who he is. All right, before we begin, let's pause for silent prayer to give you time to make sure you're on the filling of the Spirit and you have absolute objectivity for the teaching of the Word of God. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. We claim your promise that your word will not return void, will accomplish all that you design it for. We ask you to sanctify it and to bless it. Name of our Lord and of our Savior, Jesus Christ, whose name we pray, saying, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Our God and Father, we thank you for grace, for mercy, for peace. We live in a nation that's going through tremendous upheaval in the areas of culture, in the areas of personal freedom, in the areas of the utilization of personal freedom and the worship of you in accordance with the Word of God. Interferences come from church and state. We recognize that we must adjust to these things without compromising Bible doctrine, without compromising your divine norms and standards that you've called us to do. Give us wisdom and guidance. Give wisdom and guidance to all those studying under this ministry as they deal with the many areas of testing that they may have. It may be testing in the areas of their personal freedom, the decisions they make, priorities in life. It may be in connection with the areas of economics, the need to support themselves, their marriage, their family, their wife, if they have children at home, their children, their aging parents, or whatever it may be. They may have marital problems. Problems with their children or their parents or their siblings. Family problems. Father, we just pray that each one will come to you and take your trials and burdens to you and learn how to cast all their cares upon you, for you care for them. Give comfort to those who are sorry at the death of a loved one. Give comfort to those who are dying, that they help them to utilize dying grace if they have incurable diseases. And those who have incurable but not immediately fatal diseases, give them the grace and the mercy to accept the sufferings, the pain of this world, and keep going. We pray these things in Christ's name, and even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. This verse follows Paul's standard salutation, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul teaches numbers of truth about God the Father in 2 Corinthians. He is the living God, 2 Corinthians 3, 3 and 6, 16. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 3, 3. Being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. 2 Corinthians 6, 16. Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols, for we are the temple of the living God, just as God said. He is the God of grace, mercy, and peace. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2 of 1 Corinthians, we just read you of chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comers. So grace comes from him, peace comes from him. Verse 2, he is the Father of mercies, he is the God of all comfort. verse 3. He is faithful. Father is faithful. 2 Corinthians 1, 18. I hope we don't get too much static behind you. I'm afraid this cord, that microphone cord I'm trying to deal with, is stretched out too much. Now, I don't like these where you have to attach them to your head, but that's the reality of life now. And the cords curl back after a little, pretty much to it, because I can't use a wireless mic. All the outside sounds in the area here. But as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. God is faithful. His power is available to his people. That's you and me. 2 Corinthians 4, 7. But if the ministry of death and letters engraved on stones came with glory, so that the Son of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses because of the glory of his face. I'm sorry, that's 3:7. My apology. I wanted 4:7. Looked on the wrong side of the page. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not of ourselves. That's the power of God the Father. 6:7. In the word of truth and the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness with the right hand and the left. 13:4. 2 Corinthians 13:4. For indeed he was crucified because of weakness, yet he lives because of the power of God. For we are all also are weak in him, yet we will live with him because of the power of God directed toward us. This should begin to mean something to you in a great way. He is the Father of Christ. Verse 3 tells us, giving him that unique title, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Already is the Father of the Lord. He is the eternal generator of the eternal Son. Neither has beginning nor ending. He is the eternal Father. The word kurios for Lord there means the eternal Son. He is the Father of the human nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen that most people think the Holy Spirit is, but we clarified that for you years ago. He is called the Son of the Father. He is never called the Son of the Spirit. He is the Father of Christ, the appointed one, the anointed one, the set forth one. And he is the Father of all of Christ's people. 6:18. 2 Corinthians 6:18. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. The Lord Jesus Christ is said to be the Son of God the Father. 2 Corinthians 1:19. He is the image of God the Father. 2 Corinthians 4:4. He is sinless. 2 Corinthians 5:21. But Paul seems to be most interested in explaining what Christ does. He gives victory, 2 Corinthians 2:14. He judges, 2 Corinthians 5:10. He reconciles, 2 Corinthians 5:19 and 8:9. He appoints and motivates his ambassadors, 2 Corinthians 5:20. He makes men new creatures, 2 Corinthians 5:17. But God the Father is the primary source of our comfort. We see it. As we get comfort through Jesus, as we get comfort through the Spirit, as we get comfort through the Word. But the Father is the one. Blessed be the God and Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction, which we ourselves are comforted by God. The word affliction we saw in the Greek word for it here is found 12 times in 2 Corinthians, in 1:4 twice, in 1:6, in 1:8. In 2:4, and 4:8, and 4:17, and 6:4, and 7:4, and 7:5, and 8:2, and 8:13. The Father allows us to suffer so that we can comfort others and trust in Him. according to verse 9. The issue of comfort. Back in 1968, Ralph Carmichael wrote a song, "Is Your Burden Heavy?" Is your burden heavy as you bear it all alone? Does the road you travel harbor danger yet unknown? Are you growing weary in the struggle of it all? Jesus will help you when on his name you call. He is always there hearing every prayer, faithful and true, walking by our side in love we had all that day through. When you get discouraged, just remember what to do. Reach out to Jesus, he's reaching out to you. Is your life you're living filled with sorrow and despair? Does the future press you with its worry and its care? Are you tired and friendless? Have you almost lost your way? Jesus will help you. Just come to him today. He is always there, hearing every prayer, faithful and true, walking by our side in his love we hide all day through. We get discouraged, just remember what to do. Reach out to Jesus. He's reaching out to you. Through Jesus we could go to the Father. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He's the answer to everything in this world, and through him to God the Father. But we need to learn how to go to him. As we say, point out to you the words in the last class, I believe it was, the song. Concepts of taking it to the Lord in prayer. Taking everything to Jesus. Walking with him. We've given you the words of these songs over the years. Hymns are reminders, when doctrinally correct, of how to relate to doctrine. That's why the old hymns are often the deepest. So the one I just gave you, it's hard to realize I'll be 45 years old this year. The years are flying by. In the last class, we were looking at comfort from other Christians. In 1 Corinthians, Paul, without any self-adulation, would exhort the believers in Corinth to be imitators of me just as I am, also am of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1, we saw. It has been said that without an original there can be no imitation. Paul's imitation of the Christ he dearly loved and sacrificially served was no artificial manufactured likeness. Paul was possessed by him. It was Jesus who reproduced himself through the life and labors of the apostle. Prominent among the heavenly virtues Paul imitated was that of comfort. He wrote of the everlasting consolation and comfort. 2 Corinthians 16:17. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. Comfort coming to us through him. Through Christ to the Father, Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, "Be imitators of God," that's of God the Father. And we do this by imitating Christ, as we've seen many times. Paul's ministry was conspicuous for its consoling influence, even as it was in the witness of other Bible saints. Paul tells the Corinthians that those declaring the oracles of God should do so not only for edification, but for comfort in 1 Corinthians 14:3. "I teach the word to you, you should be edified." We use the old term, God gave us the grace apparatus for perception and edification. We're to find comfort in the teaching of the word of God, too. 1 Corinthians 14:3. but one who prophesies speaks to men for edification, exhortation, and consolation. You should get edified from the teaching of the Word of God. You should get exhorted, encouraged from the Word of God. You should find comfort in the Word of God. The issue is there for us, finding comfort in God, from God the Father. Paul speaks here, where in the Greek means kindly, soothingly, implying persuasive power and great tenderness. When he wrote to Philippians about consolation in Christ and comfort of love, Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Philippians 2, 1. Paul and Timothy, I'm sorry, that's 1-1, bond servants of Christ Jesus, but that's all right because that sets the stage for the thinking for the whole passage. Bond servants are slaves, bond slaves, voluntary slaves to Christ. And we come to chapter 2, verse 1, therefore, if there be an encouragement in Christ. Paul is taking a slave's attitude to a master, looks at Christ and says, if there be an encouragement in Christ, if and it's true. From the Greek, first class condition, if and it's true there is any consolation of love, if and it's true there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if and it's true there's any affection and compassion. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintain the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Finding the comfort in love through fellowship with the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit begins the way for it. The fruit of the Spirit, one fruit, nine manifestations, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Paul employed the term comfort of love, implying the instrument wherewith the comforter acts, namely with soothing and consoling words. In his contact with others, he constantly showed them true comfort through love. There was nothing cold. Nothing prefiguratory about his words and acts of comfort. Such comfort may be misunderstood, as was the motivation of David when he sent his servant to comfort Hanun on the death of his father in 2 Samuel 10:2, which we saw in the last class. Leaders treated the agents of comfort as spies and shamefully humiliated them, 1 Chronicles 19:1-5. Paul takes a different approach, commending his fellow workers who had comforted him. Paul used a further word for comfort, which has the verbal form. The word employed as medicine, meaning an alloy, irritation. Look at Colossians 4:11. And also Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only fellow workers by the kingdom of God who are from the circumcision. They have proved to be encouragement to me. The concept of encouragement. The concept of consolation. Concept of comfort comes from the Word of God, the power of the Spirit. Here in Colossians 4:11 is paragoria, paregoria, primarily in addressing an address, hence denoting a soothing solace. It's a verbal form of the word, signifies medicine, which allay irritation, as we said, the English paregoric. An interesting choice of Greek words by Paul to bring this doctrinal issue home to us. It was in this way that the friends he names greatly helped him in his arduous ministry, Colossians 4:7-11. As to all my affairs, Tychius, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant, bondslave literally in the Greek, and the Lord will bring you information, for I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances, and he may encourage your hearts, and with him Onesimus, faithful and beloved brother, who is one of your number. They will inform you about the whole situation here. Onesimus, of course, was a runaway slave who had become a believer. Aristarchus, Kirkus, my fellow prisoner, sends you his greetings, and also Barnabas' cousin, Mark, about whom you received instructions if he comes to you. Welcome him, and also Jesus, who is called Justice. Those are the only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are from the circumcision, and they have proved to be an encouragement unto me. From the circumcision, meaning that they were converted Jews, converted to Christianity from Judaism. Tychius was one of the bearers of the letter. Onesimus was a runaway slave that Paul had led to Christ there in Rome while he was in prison there. Aristarchus is seen in Acts 19, 29, 20, verse 4, and 27, verse 2, as a key helper of Paul. Mark is the author of the second gospel. He had been restored to Paul's favor after the lapse of the first missionary journey described in Acts 15, 36 to 39. Jesus, who is called Justice, nothing else is known of him there. Verse 14, he brings up Luke. Luke, the beloved physician, sends you greetings, and also Demas, the author of the third gospel, a helper. Demas was a helper who later defected and went back to live to simply live. Doesn't necessarily say when the immorality or anything. He just loved the world system. He could have settled down wanting to have a wife and children and a family, not wanting to be a martyr as Paul was about to be in Rome. But he forsook Paul shortly before Paul's death at a time when Paul needed people to stand by him. But I've discovered through the years that many people will abandon believers, particularly men in the ministry, when their going gets tough, when old age sets in, when things happen. We're thankful for the people who've helped us. We look back over a long list of people who've helped us over the years. But most of them are long gone out of our lives now. They've moved on to other ministries and other things. Some left on a positive basis and some left on a negative basis in their relationship with us, their choices. Others are so busy, like Demas, running around doing other things that they don't put the priority on the ministry that we have that they could help. They don't see the areas of help and the value that's there for them. But despite all this, we find our comfort not from people, but from God. God, people can comfort us, and when they help us, it's a real comfort to us. We got one of the most tremendous letters of encouragement, a little card in the mail the other day, from a couple back in the Midwest. And they said that the man who's a pastor teacher, a little small group now, getting up there in years too, says he sometimes reads our prayers to his little church group and praise the prayers and found our newsletter right along with us. He's re-praying the prayer as he reads it, along with us. Because it's a prayer that touches his heart. He's in agreement with what it says. What an encouragement it was to get this letter from this older pastor, another older pastor from another area. With a caring heart, wanting to encourage us. We need to encourage each other at all times to hang in there and keep going. Paul reveals his heart when he rebukes the carnal Corinthians for their treatment of one who had them in his heart. The care of the church in Corinth was a heavy, irksome load, yet the apostle was filled with comfort. Look at 2 Corinthians 7, 4. 2 Corinthians 7, 4. Great is my confidence in you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I am overflowing with joy in our affliction. beset by fighting and fears within, he could nevertheless write. 2 Corinthians 7:6-7 from the King James Version. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforteth us by coming of Titus. Titus, of course, had been greatly consoled by others himself. 1 Thessalonians 3:7. For this reason, brethren, in our distress and affliction, we were comforted about you through your faith. Believers comforting other believers by sharing good news with them and knowledge with them. Pastors carry a lot of burdens. They carry a lot of things they can't talk about or they shouldn't talk about. Marital problems with people. They share with you. They don't go around and talk about them. Many people who did it eventually left the church. In the meantime, they were isolated by those who were horrified by that particular sin because that was not one of their weaknesses. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Christ said that he is without sin, cast the first stone. Oh, but we got to expose their sins. Why? They can take them to the Lord in prayer. They can confess them and move on. They have the same rights that you do. How would you like if all your sins were exposed? I ain't got no sins. You don't know what a wonderful Christian I am. I hear that sometimes. I want it so much said in different ways, I want to puke. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If a man says he has no sin, he makes God a liar, and his truth, Bible doctrine, is not in him. 1 John 1 teaches us. We've all got an old sin nature. We all commit personal sins. We may not commit as many personal sins as somebody else does, but we do. Our sins may be the sins of neglect. A man knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We may be too busy playing little religious games that we neglect the spiritual responsibilities that we have and our real priorities in life. We find our comfort in the Word of God. We should be able to comfort our fellow believers. Tychius, who like Paul was an imitator of divine comforter, the apostle sent Tychius to comfort the hearts of believers in Ephesus and in Colossae. Ephesians 6:22. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, who, Tychius from verse 21, but that you also may know about my circumstance I am doing, Tychius, the beloved brother and faithful minister of the Lord, will make everything known to you. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know about us, and that he may comfort your hearts. Paul's personal representative to share information, to bring comfort to people who care. I wonder how much you actually care about other believers between you and the Lord, but you need to examine yourself on this. Do you really care about them? For I have sent him to you for this purpose, who, for Colossians 4:7 tells us, as to all my affairs, Tychius, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant of the Lord, will bring you information. For I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances, you may be encouraged in your hearts. Tychius is one of the bearers of the letter, sent to encourage them. Other imitators of the comfort that comes forth from God the Father mentioned in Scripture are worthy of reference. We point out to you God the Father is the original source of all our comfort. When God looked at adulterous Israel, the adulterous wife of Jehovah, he said in Hosea 2:14, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. 2 Chronicles 30:22, Hezekiah spake comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord. Comfort was given there in 2 Chronicles by Hezekiah, that's past tense, in Hosea 2:14. God's great allurement of Israel back will come during the tribulation when he will prepare her for the second advent of Jesus Christ. At the end, he will bring her to him, comfortable in her. In the Hebrew, we have a word for comfortable here in Chronicles. Hezekiah spake comfortably. Means to speak to the hearts of all. When the lands were threatened by the invasion of Sennacherib, Hezekiah spoke comfortably again to his people, urging them not to be afraid of the arms of the flesh, but they were terrified by what would happen if a godless ruler was triumphant over them. Look at 2 Chronicles 32:6-7. 2 Chronicles 32:6-7. He appointed military officers over the people and gathered them to the square of the city gate and spoke encouragement to them, saying, Be strong and courageous, do not fear or be dismayed because the king of Assyria, nor because of all the horde that is with him. For the one with us is greater than the one with him. You can read for yourself the whole descriptive passage there in 2 Chronicles 32:1-23 of the victory over the Assyrians. There may be many times in our personal experiences when well-intended comfort is spurned. Job suffered much at the hands of his miserable comforters, Job 16:2. I have heard many such things. Sorrow comforters are you all. Sorry comforters. In American Standard Version translation. They weren't interested in bringing real comfort to Job. They were interested in condemning Job. So after severe trials were over, he was gratified by his relatives and friends who came and comforted him over all the evil the Lord had brought upon him, Job 42:11. The Lord had permitted this test that came forth from God in his permissive will to prepare Job for a greater life of impact afterwards. We read, verse 10, The Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord increased all that Job had twofold, and all his brothers and all his sisters and all who had known him before came to him, and they ate bread with him. His house, they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversities that the Lord had brought on him, and each one gave him one piece of money and each ring of gold. And they abandoned him when he was under pressure and suffering, when he lost everything. They ran away. But God brings him back into his life. Job, the man that prayed for the restoration of his three friends. When God told him to pray for him, we can pray for those who despitefully use us. These were merry comforters. Isaiah was commissioned by the divine comforter to speak comfortably to Jerusalem, which he did with the mighty effect of his prophecy revealed in Isaiah 40:41. We'll just look at one verse, Isaiah 40:2. Don't have time to read the whole two chapters. I encourage you to read them for yourselves. Isaiah 40:2. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed, that she has received the Lord's hand. Double for all her sins. Double may refer to the full and sufficient punishment for Israel's sins. It can also refer, as Dr. Charles Ryrie points out, to the superabundant grace that covers their sins. God in grace is the answer. Verses 3-5 of Isaiah chapter 40 have immediate reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ as God the Son, Jehovah Sabaoth, the God of War, going before the people as they made the 900-mile journey from Babylon to Palestine. They are also applied to the ministry of John the Baptist, who prepared the way for Christ's ministry of eternal salvation, seen in Matthew 3:3. A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness, make smooth in the desert a highway for God. Let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the flesh will see it together. And for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. He brought the people back from Babylon to Jerusalem. God, Jehovah, led the way out. And he brought them out of Egypt. God opened every door. Every door that we have is opened by God. Every blessing that we have comes forth from the Father through the Son. Every good gift and every perfect gift coming down above from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, we're told in James 1:17, a verse I've quoted to you so many times. Now when the Jews gathered in sympathy, sympathizing with Mary and Martha at the death of Lazarus, they hastened to the heartbroken sisters to assure them of their deep sympathy. And the family's bereavement. Look at John 11:19 to 31 for a minute. John 11:19 to 31. We can see Christians consoling believers. I've been consoled by believers a few times. Hopefully I've been able to console other believers along the way. I've tried to do John 11:19 to 31. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Lazarus was dead and was buried. I'll let you read the rest of the passage there, but think of what happened there. They came to offer their condolences at the loss of a loved one. Sometimes it can backfire. Someone may still have something against you, and you offer condolences at a death. It irritates them instead of helping them because their own attitude is out of line with God. Your sincerity may be there. We need to offer consolation to those who go through the death of a loved one or suffering, or long-term suffering that you're trying to take care of. Barnabas was the great one, the great consoler. Look at Acts 4:36. Barnabas was a unique believer. He was a unique apostle. He had the gift of apostle, though not the office of apostle. We've taught the difference to you. Some have office and gift. Some have only gift. Paul considers Barnabas the apostle in Corinthians, and clearly he was. He was actually the leader of the team ahead of Paul at the beginning with their outreach ministries. He was willing to take the second place. Then God promoted him to lead his own group with Mark, after Paul refused to let Mark go on a second missionary journey. Acts 4:36. Now Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means the son of encouragement. Now Levites could not own land in Israel. So the land that Barnabas owned was on the island of Cyprus, undoubtedly. I point out, while the Jews in Jerusalem were worried, became Christians, worried about having their land confiscated at the hands of the Pharisees, the land that Barnabas owned was undoubtedly outside their reach there on the island of Cyprus, but he sold it and gave the gift along with the others. You can read the whole passage. Verse 37, he owned a tract of land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. How the apostles must have been heartened and strengthened by a sacrificial gift, selling land in another country, to throw in his lot completely with the Christians. When he got saved, he didn't go back to his unbeliever friends to spend all of his time with them. He spent time with his believers. He made a commitment to walk and live with these believers. We need to understand our priorities in line. Today's January the 7th. I turned the TV on this morning to get the news at 4:30. And what do I see? Everything on the station had to do with the Seattle Seahawks coming back for their victory yesterday in the playoff game in Washington, D.C. Their first playoff victory since 1983, I think it was. Hundreds of people that lined the highway to wave at them when they came back from SeaTac last and flew into SeaTac at 1 o'clock in the morning and came back to cheer them. And talking to people who traveled to Washington, D.C. to be there for the game and who intend to be in Atlanta next Sunday for the game there. They asked one man, he said he'd been to every single game this season, home and away and stuff. They asked him how much money he'd spent. He said, I don't like to think about that. Well, see, his priority is football, time and money, traveling to be with them, expenses, paying the prices for tickets. They were saying this morning the tickets were on sale anywhere from being advertised on eBay, anywhere from $40-something for the game next Sunday up to over, forgot how many, $2,000 or $3,000. I forgot how much it was. It was like $3,200 something for the top price ticket. And it found so far out there. People's commitments. The world of sports. I love sports, but you got to get your priorities in line. Sports are not the issue. You can, when someone's dying, they can find no real comfort in knowing that the team that's their favorite team won or lost if they happen to be a sport fan. But if someone has needs and a man like Barnabas comes along and sells something that he has and puts the money at their hands to utilize them to a believer or a group of believers, that can be an encouragement. He put his actions where his words were. We live in a world with little love. We live in a world that's desolate, that's cold-hearted to people. A loveless society. All around us are distressed hearts, broken-hearted people, waiting for a true comforter to come, with a human face and sympathetic words to come their way. Consider, are you an encouragement to your neighbors? Are they cheered when they see you, or do they seek to avoid you? If we're comforted of God, we can go out and comfort them which are in trouble. 2 Corinthians 1:4 in the NASB. We look at one more time. My Bible back open to it. Blessed be the God and Father, verse 3, of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. If God the Father has comforted us, then we owe it to our fellow believers to comfort them. Now, an unknown author anonymously has written these words. Did you hear the loving word? Pass it on. Like the singing of a bird, pass it on. Let the music live and grow. Let the cheer another woe. You have reaped what others sow. Pass it on. We pass on our experiences and the comfort we find from God. When I spent those 24 and a half days, in fact, I lost track of them over the years and shortened it by about 10 days at first, I went back and refigured it all up, sitting in the hospital beside my wife, following her brain surgery. I didn't get a lot of comfort from people. An old World War II veteran and his wife came down to see us. Another World War II veteran and his wife, who was dying, came down to the hospital. We really didn't have visitors in the hospital. We weren't supposed to have much, but they came down to see me. couldn't see Linda, but they could see me. A lady who has certain mental problems, and the fact that she was born with a lower IQ than other people have, but a wonderful lady who is a believer in Jesus Christ, who will have her full faculties in heaven, though she doesn't have them totally today. Her care worker brought her down. She knelt by Dunn's bed, the only person that got in there because they weren't supposed to be there except for one pastor who came. Because all she wanted to do was pray for Linda. Hold her hand a minute and pray for her. Linda was totally out of it, didn't even remember. When she went through the surgery, a friend of mine whose wife just went to be with the Lord came down and sat and kept me comfort that day. Didn't ask him to, but he came down there all crippled up and was appreciated. Another man came down that night to take me home. And I had the surgery and bring me back in the early hours of the morning because there was no place to sleep there by the intensive care unit. Comforted in death. There are those who may wonder how you can be comforted in death. W. Henley, in a poetic tribute to Robert Louis Stevenson, wrote the friendly and comforting breast of the old nurse, Death. Longfellow and Evangeline wrote, and she looked around. She saw how Death, the consoler, lay his hand upon many a heart and healed it forever. This may seem strange, weird, to say that death can comfort you. But Paul had this in mind. Paul wrote in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Lazarus, a crippled beggar full of sores, Lazarus who lived on the scraps, a homeless man living on the scraps from the rich man Dives' table. Lazarus whom no one comforted, while he was alive in this material world. No one bothered to relieve his destitution. Death to him was indeed his consoler, for the angels came and carried him to paradise, where he was comforted, according to Luke 16:25. Turn to Luke 16:25. But Abraham said, child, remember that during your lifetime you received good things and likewise Lazarus bad things. But now he is being comforted here. That was in paradise. And you are in agony. That was in Hades. The place of the unbeliever. The rich man who had all the artificial comforts money could buy did not find death's breath comforting. No angelic consolation was at his end. How he went into eternity of unrelieved torment and remorse for not sharing his good things with a comforted beggar, by not believing in Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Now the rich man lived before Christ went to the cross to die, but his faith as a Jew was to be in the promised seed of the Redeemer, the Christ, the Messiah. But he put no faith in that. He lived for the things of this world. Like people who are living for football, for baseball, for basketball, for ice hockey. There is none right now, and many people are crying over that. For stock car racing, for knitting, for sewing, for their job, for their children, for their husband, for their wife, for their parent. Perhaps even for the church or some religious organization. They're busy, more busy trying to build it up than they are to promote the things of the Lord. Build up a big entity on earth. Temple or tabernacle to God. We must find our faith in God. Without faith it is impossible to please Him, Hebrews 11:6. Through that faith we can find comfort in time of need. I don't know what the year 2030 is going to be. It's going to be a tough year as all appearances look now. people think it because the tax cuts of last year were left in here in January. Everything's going to be all right, even though there is a tax increase on Social Security that hit all the working class people. The 2% tax deduction plan has been repealed by not being reinstituted. Same thing. They let it lapse, didn't put it back in. But having wealth and prosperity, living in poverty, and I know people living on the edge of poverty, the answer is still in Christ. It's not in the temporal wealth. You can lose it at any time. In Christ, death to us will indeed be a great consoler, for it will mean not only the absence from a body of sin, but we will find ourselves at home with the Lord. Thus we can sing in triumph the song of the apostle. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:55 and 56. We can sing the words, beginning in verse 54, though, to get the bad. But when this perishable will I put on imperishable, this mortal will I put on immortality, then we will come about the saying that is written, and this is what we can scream out, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. All those who are resurrected, the first resurrection, the rapture portion of it, which could be today, tomorrow, next week, next month, this is what they will shout out. Those who have died and received the resurrection body, they will have gone through death, and they will cry, "O death, where is your victory?" And NIV translation reads, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. Thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." God, there is God the Father. Daniel 4, 35. Daniel 4, 35. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but he does according to his will in the host of heavens and among the inhabitations of the earth. But no one can ward off his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" The NIV translates it, "His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the people of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" God is the God of comfort. He comforts his children. Isaiah 51, verse 12. Isaiah 51, verse 12. "I, even I, am he who comforts you. Who are you that you are afraid of man, who dies, and the Son of Man who is made like grass?" The Comforter. Look down to verse 16. "I have put my words in your mouth, and have covered you with the shadow of my hand, to establish the heavens, to found the earth, and to say to my people, you are, or to say to Zion, you are my people." Covered you with the shadow of my hand. Isaiah 12:1, NIV translation, "Your anger is turned away and you have comforted me." The comfort of God. What an inspiration it is to magnify God. To see God as our comforter. To let him be the one. I've told you we need to learn to take it to the Lord in prayer. to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you meet various trials, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, James 1 said, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Blessed is the man who endures trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. And then from 1 Peter chapter 1, we read, Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by his great mercy. We have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ the dead, and to an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, keeping in heaven for you, who by God's power are guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while you have to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, which though perishable is tested by fire, may be renowned to the praise and glory and honor of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Without having seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with unutterable and exalting joy as the outcome of your faith, and you obtain the salvation of your soul. Jumping back to the James chapter 1 to finish it up. Father, we thank you that we find comfort from you in your word, comfort from you in your love. Bless this teaching.